skips over several more key details. After noting his father's decision to leave Hawaii for Cambridge, Massachusetts, Obama explains a separation occurred, and he returned to Africa to fulfill his promise to the continent. The mother and child stayed behind, but the bond of love survived the distances. Obama admits the fact that his mother divorced his father when she discovered his bigamous double life. Obama explains his father's decision to abandon his mother and him in Hawaii by saying that a scholarship from Harvard did not include the money to take his new family with him. Even here, we find Obama caught up in half-truths. In typical fashion, Obama Jr. provided the true explanation some 100 pages later, and only in passing, as part of a conversation with his mother when she visits him at Columbia University in New York City. She insists they go together to view a film she says is one of her favorites, Black Orpheus. Obama recalled in his autobiography that he was reluctant to see the film, reacting that it was an old arts film with a Brazilian cast made in the 1950s. About halfway through the film, Obama tells us, he had seen enough, and he looked to his mother to see if she was also ready to go. But her face, Obama tells us, was lit by the blue glow of the screen and set in a wistful gaze. Obama gets an insight. At that moment, he wrote in the autobiography, I felt as if I were being given a window into her heart, the unreflective heart of her youth. What Obama writes next appears to be the psychological understanding of his mother he had struggled to obtain since he could first remember. I suddenly realized that the depiction of childhood blacks I was now seeing on the screen, the reverse image of Conrad's dark savages, was what my mother had carried with her to Hawaii all those years before, a reflection of the simple fantasies that had been forbidden to a white middle-class girl from Kansas, the promise of another life, warm, sensual, exotic, different. Instead of embracing his mother at this moment, Obama tells us he turned away, embarrassed for her. Finally, Obama's mother explains why his father abandoned them to go to Harvard. The new school agreed to pay for everything. Room and board, a job on campus, enough to pay for all three of us. Harvard had just agreed to pay tuition. But Brock Sr. was such a stubborn bastard, he had decided to go to Harvard. How can I refuse the best education, he told me. That's all he could think about, proving he was the best. The order of the book appears to be chronological, not of the events themselves, but the chronology of how Obama pieced together the truth about his father's failed life. While at Harvard, Obama Sr. had an affair with yet another woman, an American-born teacher named Ruth Niedersand. Recall, he was still married to Obama's mother and to his abandoned wife, Kazia, in Africa. Then Obama Sr. returned to Kenya and fathered two more children by Kazia. Somewhere during that period, he also married Ruth after she followed him to Africa from Harvard. The Daily Mail further recounted Ruth finally left Obama Sr. after he repeatedly flew into whiskey-fueled rages, beating her brutally. Friends say drinking blighted Obama Sr.'s life. The Daily Mail reported, he lost both his legs while driving under the influence and also lost his job. There ended Obama Sr.'s brilliant civil service career as a top Harvard-trained econometrician working in the newly independent government of Jomo Kenyatta on a mission to bring his economically backward country into prosperity. The Daily Mail quoted Kenyan writer Philip Ochieng as saying, Obama Sr. was excessively fond of scotch. He had fallen into the habit of going home drunk every night. His boasting proved his undoing and left him without a job, plunged him into prolonged poverty, and dangerously wounded his ego. He was a menace to life, Ochieng said. He had many extremely serious accidents. Both his legs had to be amputated. They were replaced with crude false limbs made from iron. He was just like Mr. Toad from the Wind in the Willows story, very arrogant on the road, especially when he had whiskey inside. I was not surprised when I learned how he died. Why didn't my father return is a question Obama admits has haunted him since the age of 5 or 6 years old. In his autobiography, we learn Obama's Kenyan father was Muslim, but only indirectly. When Obama explained to a girlfriend in Hawaii that his name was not Barry, as he was then commonly called, but Barack, a name he explains means blessed in Arabic. He further explained that the name was his father's, and my grandfather was a Muslim. In 1986, 4 years after his father's death, Obama went to Africa for the first time to be confronted with the truth of his father's life and to meet half-brothers and half-sisters he never knew he had. The Daily Mail concluded that for all Mr. Obama's reputation for straight talking and the compelling narrative of his